Amen. Thank you, ladies. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 22 this morning and quite a few other verses in your Bible. You know, as we begin our Wednesday night Bible studies about what every Christian ought to know, Todd called me Friday night, wanted to know if Madison could be baptized, and I knew I'd be up at the church running the water and spending some time, and it gave me some time to spend some time alone with God and made me realize that there are areas in my life that I need to fix so I can help you with those areas. And I prayed and I asked the Lord and I said, now, Lord, what in my life, and by the way, when you do this, this is dangerous because the Lord will tell you. I said, Lord, what areas can I work on and try to get victory on where I can help some other people who are struggling with that? The very first thing that came to my mind, and by the way, the very first thing that would come to my families probably, and it would come to my secretary or anyone that knows me, they would say, Brother Jeff probably struggles with patience more than anything. And I would say amen to that, and I know it's easy to make excuses for not being patient, you know? We got stuff to do. We got places to be. We got good things to be doing that bad things are holding up. We can come up with every excuse in the world. But the real matter of fact is the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the fruit is the result of doing right. And the fruit is this. It's love. You say, well, I'm a loving person. Okay, good. You're fruity. Joy. Peace. I'm going to skip and come back. Gentleness. Goodness, and have faith. And there's that word, long-suffering. You see that in there? You know what long-suffering is? That's patience. Title of my sermon is so apropos, Hurry Up and Give Me Patience. Hurry up and give me patience. Now, I'm going to take you to the dictionary first, and I want to show you what the definition of patience is in old Webster. All right? Here's what it says. It's bearing trials are difficulties calmly and without complaint. I like that. I don't think it goes far enough. I like that, but I really don't. I think there's far more to patience than that. So here's a biblical definition, okay? It's learning to accept situations from God without giving him a deadline to remove them. Accepting situations from God without giving him a deadline to remove them. You say, oh, Brother Jeff, well, good. You preach it yourself and someone else today because I would never give God a deadline. I say to you, we do it all the time, and I will tell you where we do it. We do it with our prayer life. When we pray and we ask God for healing, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. It's a good thing, but here's what we do. We want instantaneous healing. Now, we have a Lord that can do instantaneous healing. Amen? But that's the way we think. We don't think this way of Lord. Now, whenever you're ready to heal my friend, or whenever you're ready to heal me in your perfect time, you do that. That's not how we pray. We pray that we get it instantly. We're a little impatient. We all know that you got to have patience to be the Christian God wants you to be. Now, you may ask yourself, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm a patient person or not. Maybe I'm a better person than Brother Jeff, which you really should be, but you may say, you know, maybe I really am in this area. I think that I'm better than he is. Well, it's not about comparing to me. It's about comparing to God. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Don't answer it out loud, but your answer should let you know if you're a patient person or not. Are you ready? Okay. Do you buy things before you have the money to pay for them? Do you buy things before you have the money to pay for them? I see smiles. I like that because I've already shot myself in the foot, the midsection, and the head, admitting how bad I am with patience. But if you're a person that just sees something and buys it, you don't wait. You need this sermon, okay? That may not be you, but carry on. Is your focus removing a problem or seeing God's purpose in allowing it in the first place? That's another one that hits me in the chest. If I were a boxer today, I would have taken a beating. I like to get rid of problems. You come to me with, my wife knows, you come to me with a problem, know what you're talking about, where we need to go, let's get her done, and let's end these problems. Okay? Do you have inward pressure when your plans do not work out? You've set a plan. You've set an idea. You've put a time scale on something, and all of a sudden, you're a child of God, and it didn't work out the way you thought it ought to work out. Ooh, I say to you, you've got a patience issue. All right? Okay, this is not one to laugh at. This is not good. Do those around you avoid you when you are going through a difficult situation? I say to you, if you are that kind of person, you have a patience issue. Now listen, I'm not here today to point fingers at you. I don't preach at people, okay? I'm just preaching on a topic. But I find it hard to believe that somewhere in our lives we don't struggle with patience occasionally. And some of us struggle with patience a lot. And I got to tell you, one of the reasons we struggle with it is we want everything done our way and not the Lord's way. Now, we would never say that if we were asked that, would we? We want God's will. We want it done in the way that the Lord wants it to be done. But here's what happens. We think we're the ones that should determine for the Lord how something should be done. And that's wrong, okay? So let's study patience today. Are you ready? It's funny, I'm preaching on patience. They got up and sang, "People Need the Lord." I almost preached on soul winning today. I may do that next week, telling others about Jesus. But these things have been burning in my heart. Now, here's the first thing I want you to see about patience. Patience does not come naturally. You're not born a patient person. You say, I know people are. No, they weren't. It's not something you're born with, okay? You may be easygoing or something, but you're not born with patience. Patience is a developed mentality. Patience, by the way, is a spiritual action. You're not born with it. So realize if you're impatient today, it's because you were born impatient. Now, that you may say to yourself, oh, that's good to know. No, it's not, because when you get Jesus in your life, you're no longer the old man. As I just was telling Madison, you're no longer the old man. You become the new man. You're supposed to change this. Patience does not come naturally. It comes by walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Back to Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the result is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. All these things you're not born with. They develop by walking in the Spirit. So rather than make light of a sinful behavior in your life, you need to take it before the Lord and you need to fix it. Now, we may do something later where you do listen. You say, well, you know, I don't struggle as much with that area as others. And that may very well be true. But we are expected to be like Christ. This is a natural behavior, not a spiritual behavior. Last night, I watched the Daytona NASCAR race. I love NASCAR and I love super speedways. And man, I got to tell you, Todd, all the years I've been watching NASCAR, that was probably the best race I have ever seen in my life. I want to tell you what constitutes a great race to me. Cars busted up everywhere and people driving 200 miles an hour trying to win. That constitutes what NASCAR is supposed to be about to me. And I want to tell you, man, there were cars thrown everywhere. Now, it's interesting. It was the last race before the playoffs, so people are trying to get into the playoffs, so this race is big. And one guy trying to get in the playoff put his car back on the track. I have never seen a car able to run so tore up in all my life. Stuff was flapping everywhere off this car. My favorite driver, Chase Elliott, ended up finishing second in the race. Chase was behind the whole race, and I needed him to finish in the top five for pole points and for the playoffs. So all this time he's behind, and I'm watching this race, and I'm just so angry. I'm like, somebody help this guy out. Well, I know Daytona and I know NASCAR. I knew the big wreck was coming pretty soon, and we'd have a chance. Boom, it happened, like 15 cars. And I'm like, yes, he came through. So they reline up. They have to clean the track because pieces are everywhere, and they start back, and they got to five laps. And I said, there's going to be another one. And sure enough, two laps later, there's another big one. And in that last big one, Chase Elliott barely got through that race. I mean, he went off into the sideline and the infield, and I mean, parts are flying everywhere. People are hitting everything, but he patiently drove through it. And then I realized after they re-cleaned it the second time, I'm like, listen, this guy has a shot to do something big here. He ended up finishing second when he was running in the 20s the whole time. Here was the key. He patiently drove while everyone's busting each other up, while everyone's going sideways. He just worked, because I follow him the whole way. And he's just working and weaving and backing off. And the reward was a second place finish, when in reality, he did not have a second place car and should never have been second in that race. But his patience pulled him through. It was the best driving I've ever seen him done. I do. Of all the races he's won, this race, I believe, will change him forever. It was incredible. It was patience. Now listen, you're going to go through things in your life that are going to test your patience. You're going to have a Daytona in your life. And you know it. Some of you know, family get-togethers. You go to family get-together and you're just praying that you can get through it without some argument or without some fight or without some disagreement. Maybe it's at work. You sit on pins and needles. You're in a situation where it's highly stressful. And when you get in high stress, you end up not being patient. Can I tell you something today? You grow. You're not born with patience. It's these kind of situations that develop patience in your life. My hope for Chase Elliott is he changes forever, because as a young man, he went through an experience that ruined a lot more experienced people, and he realizes that he can take chances and he can do things and become the driver that he was actually born to be. What's your patience like? Are you able to suffer long? Patience matures through adversity. Folks, you have to have adversity in your life to grow. The person that you are today is what you have come out of adversity from. Parents, I admonish you as parents, don't hide your children from difficult situations. Keep an eye on them. Be mother hen, be daddy bear, make sure you're there if you're needed, but let them go through some adversity to become the person that God created them to be. I don't hear an amen on that, but I'm going to tell you, if you hide them, adversity is going to overtake them. Amen. Bad things do happen to good people, amen? It happens. Patience matures through adversity. Now, it's no secret, knowing our devil and knowing me admitting that I struggle with patience, don't you figure that I am in situations all the time where my patience is tested? Every day, every hour. I live with a house full of women. Enough said. I no longer can turn our television on. I don't understand it. They've got this Roku, whatever, that thing we bought for the fights. They got it now. I wish you'd never told me a thing in the world about it. I can't turn it on. Last night, Peyton, you come turn the TV on so I can watch a race? Sure, Dad. And I'm like, how come that didn't work for me? Because I'm impatient. I will ask him, get somewhere and find me a TV where you push the button and it's on. Oh, she says ours does. Yeah, it's on with a blue screen that says component one, component two, AV1, AV2. That's not what I mean. NASCAR's on channel 4. I want it to go boop. Channel 3 comes up, 4. I'm on. And I got to tell you something, I've been so angry with our television, I've learned now how to watch it on my phone. And Kim says, why don't you watch it on TV? It aggravates me too much. I'm just watching on the phone. I said, it just makes me so mad, I just can't do it. Now I'm telling you right now, if Kim went and bought a new TV that did that, because it's my TV, it would never work that way. I promise you. She goes somewhere Labor Day weekend, won't be no TV for me because I can't turn it on. So these situations happen all the time in my life. Okoy drivers. You live in Okoy. I love you. I know people are going to listen to this. I don't know how the police department makes any money, because nobody drives over 25 in this town. They're in a hurry to do nothing in this town. They don't get in a hurry, and they do not care if they're making you wait. That drives me nuts. I got stuff to be doing. The rest of y'all don't do nothing with your life. I got to go do stuff. So I'm tested constantly, and it's really aggravating to me. They're selfish. You know, if you can't drive faster than that, there's a bus system. No.
or just come out on Saturday, state leave. So constantly I'm in situations where my patience is tested. Testing of patience is not a bad thing, because it's the adversity that will grow you as a person. Annette's back there in the back, and she knows right what I'm fixing to say because she's smiling under a mask. One day she came here on Sunday night. I didn't realize it was Annette Anderson in the car who was driving 25 miles an hour in front of me. Or I certainly would not have done what I did. No, I did not flick her off. I want you to understand, I don't do that. But Buddy Roe, spun her all around and took off. And she said, "You're in a hurry today, weren't you?" I said, "I'm always in a hurry." I said, "Why?" She said, "Right down here." And I went, "She saw me." And then I realized she didn't just see me. She was her. And I thought, I can't do that in Okoye anymore. Because I don't want to, you know, I want to live the way y'all live. I gently told Annette, "We could speed it up a little bit. We could meet in the middle." But here's the deal. Adversity is in your life for a reason. And if patience is your weakness, your devil in your life is going to make sure that you're tested all the time. My dad sat me down one time. We were at his house. And he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "If you don't learn how to pipe it down," he said, "you're going to have a heart attack and die." He said, "Man, everything in the world with you is go, 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 and get out of my way." And I thought, "Nah, not really." He's, "You're the worst." But he has a lot of room to talk. But here's the deal. You can laugh about it. It's good to joke about things. But let me tell you something. It may not hurt you in traffic. It may not hurt you in your job, per se. But it's going to hurt you somewhere in your life, because the Bible lists it in Galatians as a fruit that you need to have. I have one daughter, Amy. Amy's out of Michigan, and Amy's a great athlete. She's fun to watch play ball. And boy, I remember one day, I was out, Ashley, working out in the yard with her, and she just, I don't know what was going on, but she just wasn't catching the ball. And I started gently, and I went, "Amy, what's the deal? Same ball that you catch all the time. I don't understand. You're not handicapped. Catch the ball." "Okay, Dad." And we went on for a few minutes, and we grounded the ball, and she just couldn't get it. And finally, I turned around impatiently, and man, I threw the ball as hard as I could possibly throw right at her. And she knocked it down, thank goodness. But boy, she didn't appreciate it. She said, "Dad, I'm not doing it." I said, "Oh, you're not leaving. You're going to catch this ball." Here's the deal, though. In my impatience for her not playing well, she did not like practicing with me. That was not a part of her that she liked being with me, because she knew that I didn't have any patience with the fact that I thought someone that grew up this way ought to be able to do this. And it damaged my relationship with her with sports. She loved me to go to her games, but she didn't like for me to step in and tell her how to do it because I'm not patient. You don't want that with your kids. You don't want that with your spouse. You don't want that with your church. We have to use patience at church. Sometimes things don't go the way we draw them up to go. Be patient. Adversity through patience. We talked about in Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." That's crazy. We're grateful for trouble. "Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." We learn in these verses that a Christian can have adversity. Folks, if you listen to ministers and preachers and other Christians that tell you if you'll just get saved, you'll never have another problem in your life, that's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, it teaches the opposite. You will have adversity. And some of it's going to be strong, and some of it's going to be difficult. And the Bible says the trying of your faith will work patience. Godly, righteous Christians can have problems. Did you know that? Be very careful as a Christian before you condemn people. When you see somebody has a problem and you think, boy, they must not be living right, you need to make sure you know the facts. There are good, godly Christian people who have problems, have difficulties. Don't be judgmental. Be prayerful. Now, if we endure, blessings are going to come.
If we are able to become patient as the Bible teaches us to become patient, there's going to be blessings that come from that patience. Did you know it? Your life's going to change. Your mindset is going to change. The way that you do things is going to change. And hey, it might save you a heart attack or stress or high blood pressure. Learn to be patient. Patience will come through knowledge and faith in the Scriptures. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Do you know why the Bible was written? It was written for you to have something to learn from. That we through, here's that word, patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience comes through knowledge and faith in the Scripture. Have you ever thought about what impatience is all about? Impatience is about selfishness. We want things done our way. We want things done on our time. And you can't masquerade that in, well, I was going to do good for somebody else. No. There are times in your life, there may be times when you get to heaven and you see what God spared you from because you were patient. Bad things didn't happen to you. Trust the Lord. You're His child. Be patient. Our example of patience in the Bible is Jesus Christ. You say, really? Yeah, listen to this. He was patient in His coming to earth. Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of time was come..." Think about that. When the fullness of time was come, He had to wait until the right time to come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. This new movement that we have today about Jesus being a female. Read that verse to me and tell me where in the world you can get that out of Scripture. That's from hell, by the way. "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Right there again, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, when the fullness of time was come. Jesus was our example in patience with children. This is something that I try to emulate in my own personal ministry. Kids don't understand church protocol. They don't understand when I'm in that line back there that people get in line and I see them and then the next person. They don't understand that. Those of you that have been in that line know how it works. They'll come between your legs. They'll come all around you. They'll come by to give me a five and give me a hug. Let me tell you what I always do. I stop what I'm doing with an adult and I recognize that child for a moment. You know why? Because that's what Jesus did. His disciples, and I believe well-meaning disciples, the children were coming to Jesus, and you know what they were trying to do? They probably, in their mindset, since Jesus was only there for a certain amount of time, probably figured that only certain people should see Jesus. "Jesus, you need to see them. You need to see them. He does great work for us. You need to see." You know what Jesus said? "Suffer. Bring the children to me. Bring the children to me. They have a whole lifetime to live for me. Bring the children to me." Jesus showed His patience with children. Are you patient with children? Is your patience tested with children? Now, you can say yes and not be a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, because I guarantee you, if you have children, your patience has been tested. Boy, those of you that don't admit that, I already know you're covering up. Your kids test you to the nth degree. You've got kids, you know they're going to test you. It's how you respond to the test that's important. Sometimes we expect our children to be grown up. Well, they're still children. By the way, children make mistakes. I was always appreciative of my upbringing. I grew up a preacher's son. You have to understand what it's like to be a preacher's kid. Everyone else can do something wrong, but when the preacher's kid does something wrong, it's magnified 1,000 times. If five people got a technical foul in a game and I got a technical foul, it didn't matter about the other five. It's a big deal that I got one. And I'm so grateful that my father put a stop to that nonsense and said, "Look, my son is a kid just like anyone else, and when he does wrong, I'll deal with him, but he's a kid and he's going to make a mistake." And I've tried to do that with my kids. My kids are great kids because of their mother, but they're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and kids are going to do that. Love them. Be patient with them. And each kid's different. Every kid I have is different. I'm telling you, if you try to solve a problem, they will come five different ways at five different angles of how to handle it.
And it doesn't mean that any of them are right or any of them are wrong. You just have to be patient. And you have to understand. Jesus was patient with children. Let me tell you somebody else Jesus was patient with. He was patient with you and he was patient with me. If I were Jesus Christ, and you can thank God that I'm not. If I were, I would have been sick of Jeff Pritchard years and years and years ago. Because if I would have been Jesus Christ, Mike, you know what I would have thought? Jeff, what's wrong with you? I'm using me and I can use you too. Anybody here today? If I were Jesus, I would look down and say, boy, everything that I've done for you and look what you do for me, nothing. I give you life. I give you the keys to life. I give you children. I give you family. I give you church. I give you work. I give you health. And what do? You do nothing, or if you do anything, you do very little for me. You catch my drift? Be glad that I'm not, because I just say, I'm done with Jeff. Whoop, ain't going to heaven. But here's what I know about our Lord, Otis. He's patient with me. That doesn't give me justification to do wrong, but he understands I'm a work in progress. A tough work in progress. And by the way, those who have known me for many, many years know he's done a lot of work. He's patient with me. So if he's patient with me, Gene, why would I not be patient with others? How about neighbors? How about coworkers? How about people that do you wrong? Legitimately do you wrong. There's no argument about the wrong. Do you have patience with them? You know the old saying that we throw around in the hills? Do you have the patience of Job? You know that comes from the Bible. But do you have the patience of Job? Have you studied Job? Do you have his patience? It's big. It's not something to be laughed at. It's not something to be ignored. It's something that all Christians need, because Jesus was our example. Mark chapter 10. Listen to what the Bible says. They brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them that they brought them. When Jesus saw them, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. I thought about this today as I prepared this message, where it says, if you don't act as a child, well, let me word it correctly. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What do you think that means? A little child is totally dependent on its parent. If you're a mother and their baby, they depend on you to feed them. They depend on you to hold them. They depend on you to change their diaper. Their whole existence is dependent on you. They get a little bit older, and then the father has a role. And then they get a little bit older, and father and mother have a role. Both have a role. Some have a singular role. You understand how it works. There's different things. But a little child has to have its mom and its dad. What does a little child do when they're scared? They run to their daddy. What are you going to do to stop some of that fear in their life? Probably not much. But they need you. They reach out and they need you. Those of us that have been around children, we know when children have a fear. I can see discomfort in my own children as they've gotten older. I can tell when we're in situations where they're not as comfortable as they are in other situations. I can see it in their face, in their eyes, that this is bothering me, or this is intimidating for me. Jesus says, if you want to come to my kingdom, you've got to treat me as a little child. In other words, you've got to need me completely and totally. What's your relationship like with Jesus today? Do you need him? You do, by the way. But do you live like you need him? Boy, let me tell you, if you do, you need him. Patience will help you with that. Jesus had patience with his enemies. Think about this today. Jesus came to the earth to save those which were lost. He didn't come here for a political agenda. He didn't come here to prove a point. He came here to help people who had a need. Very noble reason to come to the earth. Yet I say to you today, there's no one in the history of mankind that has ever been more disliked and been more hated than Jesus Christ. Yet the Bible says Jesus was patient even with his enemies. Have you ever thought about Jesus' disciples and their personalities? Think about Peter. You know what, Todd, I figure went through Peter's mind sometimes when he saw people pushing Jesus? I'm sure he wanted to whisper in Jesus' ear, let me get a piece of that dude. Just let me knock him back a step. Just let me show him who's the boss. Let me show him what he's messing with. Jesus had patience even when his enemies, Jesus had patience on the cross. Understand, and don't ever take this for granted when you're talking about the cross. Never take this for granted at Easter. When Jesus hung on that cross and died for the sins of the world, all he had to do was make a nod to the angels and they could have took him off that cross. You do understand that? And you say, oh, he would have been tempted to do that. Careful, because in the garden, he talked to his father and asked his father if there was any other way that this could be done. That's the humanity of the cross. The humanity, Jesus is as much human as he is God. Remember that, they work together. Jesus hung on that cross, and you wonder if Jesus hurt. Would you hurt if I nailed nails through the palms of your hands and your feet? Why, yes, you would. Well, yes, it hurt him. 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. Did it tear his skin like it would tear your skin? It tore his skin. His skin was like your skin. When he thirsted, that's just like you and I when you're so dry that you need a drink of water. You know what they gave him? A vinegar sponge. You think that tasted as bad as it would to you? It did. It was mockery. And when they spit on him just like you would spit on someone else. Remember that? Degrading. Jesus stayed on that cross. Can't lift my arm behind his shoulder. Jesus stayed on that cross and endured all that for one reason. For you. All this beating and scourging and dragging crosses and two other things that are huge. How about the fact that his father, the Bible says, because he carried the sins of Jeff and Todd and everyone in here, he looked so bad that you know what his father said? I can't look at him. So his own father couldn't look at him. And on the cross, what is another major concern that Jesus has? Take care of my mother. Go, and I love that about Jesus. While he was being Jesus on the cross, he saw his mother. And he knew what was going through his mother. That his mother knew he was sent there to do this, but it was killing his mama to see him treated that way. And you know what he said to his disciple that he loved? Take care of my mother. Don't worry about my body. Don't worry about me. Go take care of my mom. All that hideous. They did a movie called The Passion of the Christ. It's pretty old now, but Mel Gibson did it. And I remember when Mel Gibson did it, he got a lot of criticism. He even got a lot of criticism in the Christian community because it is a very violent movie. And they interviewed him. And he said, listen, here's the deal. I wanted people to really see what I thought by reading the Word of God and by what historians wrote, what really Jesus went through. And that's why I watched that movie when I watched it. And I'm going to tell you what, you could not watch it without being incredibly moved. And then I had to stop and think, Jesus did that for me. He showed patience on the cross. He could have came down off that cross. He could have said, enough's enough. I've had it. I didn't do anything to deserve this, but he showed patience while he hung on the cross. Lastly, in Psalms 108, the Bible says, Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?
Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off, and wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our host? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. The last thing he does is this. He stays patient with us. Us. Folks.
I think a little bogs when I talk about this. We were doing a Bible study on sin. I said, Lowell, we've been studying all these sins, and I said, man, I got to tell you something. I sin a lot. And he said, yeah, me too. I said, Lowell, I want you to go home. And I said, I want you to come back Wednesday. And I said, I'm going to come back Wednesday. And I said, I want you to study the scripture, and I want you to give me an estimate of how many times you think you sin in a day. Now, remember, there are sins of omission and sins of commission. Before you think that just killing, lying, cheating, and murder sin, which it is, there are sins that commandments that we are asked to do that we don't do, so that's sin too. And he and I got back together, and it was staggering. Sin doesn't have dominion over us, but let me just tell you something right now. We struggle with sin. By the way, you're not fighting sin if you don't admit you're in a struggle with it. Some people are afraid to even admit they sin. You can't have Jesus until you first admit that you're a sinner. He already knows that you are. You have to admit it. Think about this today. We know the Ten Commandments, and I could go through a whole list. I don't have time on things that we definitely do wrong. But how about those things that we're commanded to do? Did you hear the song earlier? People need the Lord. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Who's supposed to tell people about the Lord? Correct. We are. We includes every one of us. We doesn't mean just the preacher. We doesn't mean your Sunday school teacher. It does, but that's not it. We are supposed to tell others about the Lord. Are you doing that? Well, guess what you're doing? You're sinning. See, we like to think of sin in a whole different light. Are we showing love to our fellow brothers? Folks, right now in our country is in turmoil. You don't have to say amen to it. That's just a fact. And I got to tell you, some of it is pretty tough for some of us to stomach, isn't it? What's the only thing that's going to change these people? Or for that matter, I'm sure all of us need some of it too. So what is it that it needs to happen to make change in this world? There's no president, there's no House of Representatives, and there's no Senate that's going to fix every problem that we have. It's going to come down to Jesus Christ changing the hearts of people that are doing wrong. Amen? He's the only one that can do that. I'm telling you, people don't have that power. He does. Patience. He's still patient with us. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. I remember singing it in the lower primer level. And this is what we would sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars. Think about that today. The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. Took him a week to do. Look what he did in a week. He's at almost 52 years with me. Some of you longer than that. Some of you shorter than that. If you live to be 52, he's still going to work on you. In a week, he made the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, Jupiter, Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. You say, boy, Brother Jeff, I'm glad I came to church today because you just hit me right between the eyes. I get it because I'm going to tell you, it killed me preparing this sermon. But here's what we need to do if we got a problem with patience. Realize two things. Your adversary, the devil, knows that you're not a patient person, and he will turn his army against you when you make the commitment I'm going to ask you to commit. Okay, I'm just telling you. If you think your patience was tried now, prepare. You're going to really be tested this week. You're going to be behind the 15-mile-an-hour drivers, and you're going to be in the different areas where you're really going to be tested. You're going to stand in line longer than anybody. You're going to be the guy that goes in there to check out, and the lady turns on her light and says, sorry, it's break time. Ooh. You're going to be that person. But if you make the commitment to the Lord that you want to grow in that area, when you grow, your life will change and it will affect people around you for good. Your spouse is going to come up and say, hey, I just want you to know I noticed you didn't get mad when that happened. Hey, I noticed that you're trying to be a little more understanding. Your children will come up to you and say, hey, Dad, you know, I know this is rough area for you. I live with you. But I watch this and I see that you're growing and you'll make a difference. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we stand for our hymn of invitation. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say this every week and I mean it. You don't worry about developing your patience right now. Get Jesus in your heart. It's almost impossible to be that way without Him. So you just don't worry about anything that I just said, but you get Jesus. But those of you that are here today and you have Jesus, you can laugh, like, and some of it's humorous. I mean, you can, I don't have a problem with that, but you laugh at areas and things where you know that you really need to change, but are you willing to change them? Now, I just told you, and I guarantee it, you're going to be tested. But with the uplifted hand to the Lord, not to me, I got a bigger problem as anybody. But to the Lord, will you lift your hand today and say, Lord, as I'm tested, I vow that I'm going to try to develop and grow this area in my spiritual life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let Jesus see your uplifted hand if you mean it. Amen. That's good. Prepare for testing. But remember, the trying of your faith will work patience. Maybe there's somebody here looking for a church home. Maybe there's someone here looking for a church home. You like our church? Let me tell you, what you see is what you get. I'm telling you. I always tell people, this is our church, warts and all. We don't put on a show, okay? This is how we do it. This is how we feel the Lord would want us to do it. And you sit there and say, you know, I fit with that. If you fit and you've been before the Lord, come join. We'd love to have you. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let the Lord have a sweet way.